Ms. Cheung's detention is the latest incident in Australia's frayed relationship with China. A new report this morning urges Australia to team up with other like-minded countries to counter aggressive trade sanctions imposed by Beijing. Yet, another China expert's warning against overreaction, saying the nation's bark is worse than its bite. With more, here's Tom Eagledon.
From bans on Australian beef to crushing tariffs on barley exports and investigations into wine exports, Chinese trade sanctions have been coming thick and fast this year. They're just a few examples of what a new report describes as coercive diplomacy. And Australia isn't the only target. The Australian Strategic Policy Institute says China's used these tactics 60 times last year. And there have been 34 cases so far this year, with Australia and New Zealand second only to Western Europe in being singled out. Fergus Hansen is the lead author of the report and director of the Institute's International Cyber Policy Centre.
We've seen, on the whole, a much more assertive foreign policy under Xi Jinping, a much greater willingness to throw the heft of China around in international disputes.
The report tracks seven types of coercive behaviour, ranging from issuing threats, restricting trade and travel, arbitrary detention of foreign citizens, boycotts and investment bans.
Verbal threats are absolutely top of the list in terms of the cases that we identified. Trade restrictions came in second, and tourism restrictions came in third.
And it's not just governments that are the target.
We also looked at companies, not just states, and in almost all cases, companies concede to whatever the CCP's demands are.
Though governments are less susceptible, he says the best way to counter China's increasingly aggressive use of coercion is for them to band together.
So I think it's a matter of looking at partners that are having the same experience and working together with them.
So is there a role here for the government and its Foreign Minister Maurice Payne to take some leadership here and try and get some multilateral sort of teaming up going on?
It's essential that foreign ministries that are being affected by this, and there's a lot of them, start working together and gripping up different strategies.
But Professor James Lawrenson of the Australia-China Relations Institute at the University of Technology, Sydney, says that could be an overreaction.
There's nothing wrong with joining like-minded countries when you have common interests. But, of course, the qualification that has to be added to that, particularly when, say, we're talking about Australian and American interests, is that on the economic front, we actually have very different interests. The latest trade data points to more than 40% of Australia's exports going to China. The American number's not even close to that.
And he points out China's threats often don't translate into serious, long-lasting economic damage.
I think back to the wine incident back in 2017, which lasted precisely 3 weeks. After that, the flows of wine into China started proceeding again. And in fact, at the end of the year, Australian wine exports to China hit a record high.
That's University of Technology Sydney Professor James Lawrenson ending Tom Eagledon's report.